Does thinking about the world's problems leave you hopeless? Are you tired of feeling like there's nothing we can do? Well, you're in the right place, because this is the official Building a Better World podcast. And now, here's your host, co-author of Building a Better World in Your Backyard, Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys, Sean Clausen-Coop.
Hello and welcome to episode number 8 of the Building a Better World podcast. My name is Sean Clausen-Coop, and I am so grateful to have you listening in today. I appreciate you taking this time to learn and grow and hopefully build a better world in your backyard. In the last episode, I talked about eliminating household toxic ick and how with just a few ideas, we can make our houses, our homes a much healthier place to live and also save money and time at the same time. In this episode, I want to talk about something that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is a topic that can make a huge difference in the world, but one that can also be quite challenging. So today we're talking about community living. But before I dive into today's topic, I just want to say a big thank you to my friend Mike Wiebe. He was the voice of the intro and the outro for this podcast, and he deserved to be thanked all the way back in episode number 1. But I left him for here in episode number 8 because I think it fits kind of with the topic. Mike and I were roommates for a summer and got to experience some of the joys and some of the challenges of community living. I just want to say thanks again to Mike, who did this totally volunteer. I appreciate you, Mike, and your friendship. You're super cool. All right, now it's time to get into today's topic, talking about community living. Some of you, when you hear the word community, might have a lot of negative thoughts and feelings associated with that. Some of those might be very well justified. Some of them might be rumors that have been twisted in weird ways. And, you know, you hear stories, you might, when you hear the words community living, you might think hippie commune, and that might be all you have to associate with that. And, that is a form of community living, and I'm happy that that works for some people. Don't know that it would work for me, but want to go real quick into some of the advantages here. I think one of the coolest ones is that if you live in community with a bunch of people that you love and think are awesome, you can spend most of your time with people who you think are super awesome. And I think that when you spend time with people who you think are super awesome, then that helps to bring out the best in you oftentimes and allows you to express yourself and enjoy your life better. Further benefits of community living include reducing your spending in many ways, one of them being on heat, because the more people in a smaller space, then the more you're going to save money on heating. And also on, you know, your carbon footprint. Food can be bought for much cheaper when you can buy in bulk. You can buy just generally less stuff. You don't need 12 couches. You just need a few. And lots of other things, including fuel. If you're living in a rural area, you might be able to carpool to town every now and again if you do need to pick up a few things. One of the things that I love most about community living is making the best of people's gifts. So, you know, some people are going to be excellent cooks and they're going to love that. And some people are going to be excellent woodworkers or sewers or knitters or gardeners or electricians or plumbers. And no one person is going to be amazing at all of the things. But together, if you get enough people with a wide enough skill set, you can do some really amazing things because you have experts in each category. And so I love that. So much to learn from so many people, and so much that can be done to impact our lives through them. The next things that I want to talk about, there are more upsides, but I want to go into the downsides and talk a little bit more about that, because the downsides are often so significant with community living that almost no one wants to actually do it. It sounds nice, and then people try, and then they fail. And I think the number one thing that we need to consider when we're talking about community living is that we need to set up a system where instead of assuming that people are going to be noble and amazing and just always do the right thing for the right reasons, we need to set up a system that assumes that people are human, knowing all of the flaws that come along with that. And I think that if we set up systems that assume that people are going to be human, it puts us in a place where we can enjoy our time together and not be disappointed that people are human. When we're talking about problems in community, Paul and I both agree that 90% of our problems are going to probably come from the kitchen. Because the kitchen is this magical place where everyone has to be multiple times a day, or maybe should be, depending on your arrangement. And lots of problems arise because different people have different ways of taking care of equipment and space and cleaning and food. And people sometimes eat other people's food, which is something I'm really not okay with, having my leftovers eaten when I claim them. And so I think it's important to acknowledge that this is likely going to be one of the, if not the, biggest problem areas in community. And there are going to be different ways, like all problems, different ways to address this problem. Paul lived in a community one time where the entire group designated one person as the queen of the kitchen. And so it was her kitchen, and anything that she said, that was the law in the kitchen. And I think it's a really interesting way to try things. And Paul said that it worked really well because the person who they happened to designate was amazing, and so amazing that nobody really wanted to frustrate that person and have them be less lovely than they were. And, you know, if somebody wasn't doing their job, wasn't cleaning up their dishes, for example, then, you know, queen of the kitchen would go after them and make them do everybody's dishes for the next couple days or something like that. And people did it because, you know, the queen's in charge. So we got to listen to her because she's wonderful and we don't really want to live somewhere else where she isn't. So, yeah, that's one way to do it. Obviously, different ways of going about it. But that's one idea for you there. Another problem, when Paul first bought his property, he had what he called the 20-month party. And he had a bunch of people, I think hundreds of people, at least 100 anyways, come to his property over the first 20 months of being there. And it was kind of a revolving door for most of the time. And they were sharing space inside his house. And there was a lot of trouble with dirty cups. Probably lots of other dirty stuff too, but emphasis on the cups, and that there were cups just being left everywhere. And there, you know, there was a rule. It was you take a cup, you use it, then you clean it right away. And Paul ended up going everywhere throughout his community, trying to chase down people to get them to fess up that their cups were dirty and that it was their cup and not somebody else's, and that they would go and spend the 2 seconds to clean it. Now, this is a challenge and a giant pain in the behind, and I don't think anyone would particularly enjoy hunting down people and trying to convince them that, yes, it is their cup and they need to wash it. So a solution that we suggest in the book that would work well for some communities, maybe not others, is to hire a professional house cleaner. And I suggest that that person does not live in the community. Hire that professional to come in, maybe it's once a week, and clean the whole place, because you're going to have some people who are super tidy and you're going to have some people who are super messy. And the messy people don't realize they're messy, and the tidy people sometimes struggle to notice that, you know, less tidy can be okay. And so having someone in and cleaning the whole place for everyone once a week can be a way of solving that problem. Lots of other ways to do that as well. And communication, I think, is a key factor there too, to make sure everyone's on the same page and everyone has the same goals in your community. That is compressing an extremely complicated topic down into a very few number of minutes for you. Just a couple of ideas to hopefully get you interested in the idea of living in community and some of the advantages. And, you know, I really like the idea of being able to live with 20 other people on a piece of property, and the piece of property is thus, you know, 1/20th of the price or so. I mean, you would need a bigger house for 20 people. But all of the benefits of having people around, I think that would be lovely. And I hope that you do too. And I think, yeah, we need to continue to work at ways for us to deal with the problems in community. And that will probably be a lifelong journey. But I think with some good discussion with other people and other communities, we can definitely get there. All right, that's all for today. Thanks so much for listening in. In the next episode, I'm going to talk about a very controversial topic, and that is diets. And vegan versus omnivore versus junk food is the name of the chapter I'm going to be talking about from our book, Building a Better World in Your Backyard. We're going to talk about what's healthy for you, and we're going to talk about what's healthy for the planet, and I don't want to give anything else away. I hope to see you there, and hopefully you will find it informative and entertaining and enjoyable. In the meantime, in the spirit of community, I want to encourage you to check out the book, the ebook, or the audiobook if you don't have it already, any of those three things, and you want to take a look and you don't feel like buying it yet, that's totally fine. Check it out at your library. Libraries are an amazing community place where we can pool resources together to share and to learn together. So feel free to check that out at your library. If they don't have it, just tell them Building a Better World in Your Backyard by Paul Wheaton and Sean Klossenkoop, and they should be able to order it in for you. No problem. All right, that's all for today. Thanks so much. I hope you have a great day.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about building a better world in your backyard, saving money, and living a more luxuriant life, all without being angry at bad guys, please visit buildingabetterworldbook.com.